This is Tip TV Finance. We meet Jenny Hammond and Zach Mayer, and with us in the studio, Simon Weissenberg, CEO of K1T Capital. Simon, welcome. So what have you got for us today, Simon?
So I'm still bearish. When we came on last November, obviously we were calling for a cat crash. It's undoubted we were early with our signal. However, we still believe that the markets are peaking or at a top.
To be fair, I mean, the market hasn't, well, I don't know why I want to be fair, but to be fair, the market hasn't actually gone up that much since, since the beginning of December, maybe?
Yeah, US equities have risen about 1.5% since our call. So compared to the 8-year bull run, that's insignificant, really.
Yeah. Well, let's take a look at the slides you brought in. So talk me through this one.
Okay, so I mean, today's discussion is basically about the fact that we believe the markets are overbought, overbullish, and overvalued. So we've borrowed a phrase from John Hussman of Hussman Funds, and we believe, as Hussman does, that the markets are all of these three things. And we therefore think there's a real risk of a crash in US stocks in the short term. And we're going to show you our rationale for the fact that we believe the market's overbought, overbullish, and overvalued. So our algorithm did generate numerous long-term sell signals for US stocks in November of 2016. And to be fair, the broadest measure of the market, the Russell 3000, has in fact gone sideways since December 13. So if we discuss first overboughtness, so looking first at the measure of overboughtness, this slide looks at the 8-year rate of change for the S&P 500. And this tells you how much the market has risen or fallen in percentage terms over the last 8 years. The average 8-year gain for the whole period is the black line there, which shows it's 63%. The standard deviation of the 8-year returns is 72%, and we've added in some horizontal lines for returns expected at 1, 2 and 3 standard deviations. Now, using this measure, the S&P 500 has only been more overbought on less than 1% of all weeks in its whole history. And remarkably, if you use the Russell 3000 index rather than the S&P 500, the overboughtness is even more extreme. So that's our rationale for...
So we're near to where we were in 1987, that type of boom.
Precisely,
Type of run.
It's 87. I mean, we've got rationale which shows we're close to 29... 87, 2000.
All the good stuff.
Yeah, I'm afraid it's all over the place. So let's talk about overbullishness. So if we go to the next slide. So bullish sentiment has reached levels that have in the past coincided with market tops. One of the longest data series of investor sentiment is the weekly investorintelligence.com sentiment report. And this report objectively records whether newsletters and advisors are bullish, bearish or neutral. And it's done so for the last 30 years. So in this slide, the report is often discussed by numerous contrarian investors, which we are one of. And one of the best analysis of the report, in our opinion, is by a chap called Ed Yardini of Yardini.com. And his analysis can be seen in this slide, and it shows that several of the largest market tops have coincided with the times when the ratio of the bulls to bears is greater than 3 times. In the top panel there, you can see that the ratio of bulls to bears going back to 1986, and the lower panel shows the Dow Jones Index over the same period. The vertical red lines are the weeks in which the ratio of bulls to bears exceeded 3 times. And you can see that those vertical red lines coincided with the October 87 crash and also the October 2007 crash. I'm afraid it's an unfortunate fact that investors typically become most bullish at market peaks. So we're therefore defining overbullishness as a bull bear ratio of greater than 3 times. So where are we right now? Well, you can see from the top slide there, or the top chart there, that the ratio as of Jan the 17th was 3.5 times, and that was the fourth week in a row where the ratio has been greater than 3 times. The ratio is now higher than it was in both 87 and 2007. I suppose, you know, just to sort of add weight to this, that means that there, for every bear, there are 3.5 bulls. With policy uncertainty at record levels in the US, Europe and China, it doesn't take much to imagine that the bull camp moving towards neutral, which could create a large buy-sell imbalance and a possible crash.
I mean, the only thing is that, I mean, the only thing which spoils that outlook possibly is just interest rates are so low, there's nowhere else to put your money, and therefore this time the paradigm has changed.
But aren't we in an interest rate rising environment in the US?
So that could be the trigger.
Yeah, it could be, yeah. So moving on to the last slide, we're now looking at why we believe the market is overvalued. So PE is notoriously unreliable timing indicator, but the Nobel laureate Robert Shiller, Shiller's CAPE ratio, C-A-P-E, which stands for cyclically adjusted PE ratio, is far more effective. So we're looking at the CAPE ratio here. Instead of using current earnings, it uses the average for the last 10 years, which smoothens out the impact of variations in profit margins at different points in the business cycle. The current CAPE for the S&P 500 peaked at 28.3 in early January. That's Jan this year. And the only other two occasions with such elevated CAPE were 1929 and 2000. The median CAPE for the entire period is 16.05, meaning that the current peak is some 76% away from its median. In order for the S&P 500 to trade back at its median, or revert to mean, prices would have to fall 45% from current levels. So that potential exists.
Yeah. So the only thing there is just whether you would actually have a crash or just have a long period of a slow death type of thing.
Our expectation is that we could easily have a 45 to 50% decline over the next 2 to 3 years. But generally, when markets hit our signals,
they come back quickly.
We see an initial steep decline from the signal. And then there might be a smoother fallout going forwards.
Super. Simon, thank you. Simon Weissenberg there, CEO of K1T Capital.